Well, a happy and blessed Sabbath to one and all gathered here and those on the phone, those listening to the recording, and also those joining us on WLMR Radio. Glad to have you with us on this beautiful Sabbath day, the 12th of May, 2018. And what a very precious time to be alive, and also a very solemn time to be alive, especially with everything going on around us and around the world. But praise God for his merciful kindness and his tender love and for leading and guiding us upward. So a very blessed Sabbath to each one of those joining with us today. Our opening song is titled Sweet Holy Spirit. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we
There's a sweet expression on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. We lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we know that we have been revived when we
are all together. Through thy grace, and it's all through the Spirit of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, staying right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this gathering place.
Amen. And thank you, dear ones, and praise God for sending his Holy Spirit to be with us. And thank you, Spirit, for leading and guiding us into all truth and for also bringing the presence of our Father and our Savior to be with us. And before we get into our main service, I have a couple announcements to make. The first announcement is that the upcoming women's meeting was to take place on the 21st, Monday the 21st of this month. Due to being out of town, that is not going to take place until the following Monday on the 28th. So just mark it on your calendars that the next women's meeting is not going to be on the 21st. It's going to be on the 28th. And so thank you for doing so. The second announcement is I just wanted to remind you once again that we are in the process of putting our ministry videos on YouTube. And we already have a YouTube channel called Let There Be Light Ministries. And so you can find that by going to YouTube. And if you'd like the actual link, I'm going to be having that put on our website soon. I just need to work out formatting the page for that. And then you'd be able to go to our website under online videos and then be able to find the links directly to those videos on YouTube. So we thank you for your prayers on this, and it's a continuing process. We have more than 10 different sermons on videos, and we're in the process of getting all of those up on YouTube so they'd be available online. So that is the two announcements that I have, and now it's time for opening prayer, so let us please bow our heads and our knees as we come before the throne of grace. Precious Father in heaven, thank you so very much for being in control of all things and that we can safely leave our lives in thy most capable hands, knowing that whatever is for our best welfare with the goal of heaven in mind, you will allow. And you will also give us the grace and strength to endure whatever you allow to come our way. And Father, we continue to give this meeting taking place in the home church today on thy wonderful Sabbath into thy hands to take control, to lead and guide, and to bless us with light from above. We pray that our Savior will continue to be in our midst and that especially the Holy Spirit will be here to correct us, reprove us, to lead us and guide us into all truth, away from all error. And please help us to hear and recognize His still small voice speaking to us, encouraging us and reproving us in our walk. Spirit, forgive us for grieving thee or spurning thee, doing despite to thee by choosing to follow our own ways instead of the ways that you're leading us to follow. Thank you for your long suffering to each one of us, and please draw near and open our comprehension to spiritual things that we may avoid being deceived and instead may walk in the light as it shines from our Savior. And thank you so much for helping each one. Father, I pray that you'll be with all of those that have requested prayers, both spoken and unspoken, and thank you for knowing each one and already working to deliver them or to heal them, to grant their requests according to thy perfect will and timing. We again uplift Nadara, that you will lead them as well as the group that they're fellowshipping with to remain faithful and to continue advancing in the light as it shines upon their pathway. Pray that you will continue to be with the daughter of our dear sister Lucy, and thank you for granting her a measure of health in answer to prayer, and I pray that you will continue to work in her case and to also open her heart to allow Jesus in and to recognize how empty life without Jesus is. We also pray that you'll be with the four individuals that have been witnessed to by our dear brother James and sister Lucy, and help them to remember the truth that was shared, to study for themselves, and also to be curious, to want to learn more. And please prevent Satan from snatching away the seeds of truth, but let these indeed sprout and grow within their hearts. We also pray for our dear sister Lynn, that you will raise her back to health and bring her back into fellowship with our group soon. And thank you, dear Father, for continuing to work in her life as well as in the life of her precious mother. And thank you so very much for being a God close at hand and not one far off. And thank you for being close with each heart today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Our sermon today is titled Bible Spotlight on the Gift of Tongues. And from time to time, we're going to be turning the Bible spotlight onto different subjects of biblical truth and see what the Bible has to say about them. And this particular spotlight is going to be turned on to the gift of tongues. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID654.htm. And thank you, dear sister. And in this world today, there's great deception being practiced upon people all over the world. And just as it is in the world, so it's also in the churches of today. There's also great deception being practiced upon the members. And the only way to avoid being deceived is to understand what is truth. And to understand what is truth, we need to have knowledge and wisdom. But where are we to get this knowledge and wisdom? If you look at quote number one, James 4:4 tells us that if we depend alone upon the knowledge and wisdom from earthly sources, that we will become the enemies of God. So we can't depend alone upon the knowledge and wisdom obtained from the world. So then, can we depend alone upon the knowledge and wisdom from other men? And the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:5 that the answer to that is no. Because if we depend on the words of other men, whether they're a pope, a priest, a minister, or elder, a guru, or a shaman, then we will be cursed, not blessed. So then, can we depend alone on our own wisdom? And the Bible tells us no, because our own wisdom is foolishness. And that's from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 19 and 20, and also 1 Corinthians 3:19. So then, where do we obtain the knowledge and wisdom with which to understand the truth and thus avoid being deceived with error and falsehood? Where do we go? In Exodus 34, verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him, or before Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. So God is abundant in truth. In Deuteronomy 32:4, we're told, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. So God is not only abundant in truth, he is a God of truth. We're also told in Titus 1 verse 2, God cannot lie. And then in Hebrews 6:18, it was impossible for God to lie. So God is abundant in truth. He is a God of truth and without any error. He alone speaks words that are always truthful because he can never lie. And God has also mercifully allowed his words of truth to be written down so that we can read them for ourselves and don't have to depend on others. We can read God's words of truth for ourselves. In Psalms 57, verse 2 and 3, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. From 2 Peter 1, verses 20 to 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And in John 17:17, we're told, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. So in order to obtain the knowledge and wisdom with which to understand what is truth, we must go directly to God's word, and God also mercifully promises to help us understand his truth. You can find that promise in James 1:5, John 7:17, and John 14:26. And the wisdom and knowledge which comes from God, as found in his inspired word, must be our only foundation and dependence in trying to understand the truth in any particular issue. So since it is in God's inspired word alone that we find what is truth, then this means that any teaching or doctrine or belief or interpretation or even personal opinion that does not agree with or should go contrary to what is found written in God's inspired word cannot be the truth. If it doesn't agree or contradicts God's word, then it's not the truth. If you look in quote number 2, from 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And in Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, or to the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. It's not the truth. So this shows us that God's inspired word of truth is actually a detector of what is error and deception. So then the Bible is like a spotlight which we can turn upon any teaching, any doctrine, any belief, any interpretation or opinion to see if it's really the truth or not. If it agrees with God's word, it's truth. If it disagrees with God's word, it's error. So then let us turn this Bible spotlight upon the subject of today, which is the gift of tongues. And no spiritual gift today enjoys more popularity than tongues. And no spiritual gift today harbors such inherent possibilities of deception as speaking in tongues. So it is vitally important that we see exactly what God's word of truth has to say about tongues so that we can avoid being deceived by any counterfeit. And if you look at quote number 3, the first biblical occurrence of speaking in tongues was at the Tower of Babel. You can find this in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. When you read the verses there, you'll discover that instead of all human beings speaking just one common language, God miraculously intervened, and now there were thousands of different language groups among the people. And after this occurred, the people could now only understand what certain among them were saying, and the rest they couldn't understand. So this forced these individuals to find others who spoke the same language they did, to unite together, and then scatter throughout all the world into their own different nationality, their own part of the world where they didn't have to worry about having to listen to individuals speak and they couldn't understand what they were saying. So they all left to find their own place in the world and developed into a civilization, a nationality. And out of all of these different nationalities around the world, God chose the Hebrews to be his particular people. You can find this in Psalms 135, verse 4. And since God had chosen them, he then desired them to follow and keep all his commandments, as well as to spread his truths to all other nations. You can find this in Deuteronomy 26, verses 16 to 19. But the history of Israel shows that they chose instead to disobey God. They rejected his truth, they embraced custom and tradition, and were actually defrauding the world with a counterfeit gospel instead of the truth. And when this was pointed out to them, they would not repent, but even went so far as to crucify God's Son, Jesus Christ. So as a result, God then set the Israelites aside and chose the Gentiles to be his chosen people. You can find this in Matthew 23, verses 37 to 39, Acts 18, verse 6, Romans 10, verses 16 to 21, and Romans 11, verses 1 to 28. But even though God had set aside his once chosen people, he still mercifully gave them one last chance of gaining salvation. And this last hope was to be seen through a special miracle. In Isaiah 28, verse 11, we're told, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." So that was the prophecy. Now, when Jesus trained his disciples during his ministry of 3.5 years, he limited their training to just reaching out to the Jews living in Israel and Samaria. However, after Christ ascended, or resurrected, and then ascended to heaven, he left them instructions that they were to take the gospel truth not just now to the Jews alone, but to every nation. In Matthew 28, verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And in Mark 16, verses 15 to 17, in connection with going forth to all nations, Jesus also said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues." So in addition to commanding his disciples to spread the gospel to every nation, Jesus also foretold that they would be able to speak with new tongues. But just what kind of new tongues did they speak? If you look at quote number 4, in the book of Acts is recorded 3 separate instances of tongue speaking by Christ's disciples. First was in Jerusalem, next was in Caesarea, and the third was in Ephesus. So let us briefly examine each of these 3 instances in a little more detail. The first was tongues in Jerusalem, and this is found recorded in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. And in reading those verses, you'll discover that 50 days after Christ's resurrection, his followers were able to speak in tongues, and there was a group of about 120 believers that were gathered together in obedience to Christ, who had commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. That was Acts 1, verse 4. This particular time frame was during the Feast of Weeks, one of the 3 feast days of the year that the Jews were commanded to be at Jerusalem. And so the city of Jerusalem was crowded with pilgrims out of every nation under heaven, which is Acts 2, verse 5. And it was at this time that God poured out his Spirit in a very marked manner. These 120 believers had been together for 10 days, during which time they worked out all their differences and were now perfectly united in the bonds of peace and love. And the day of Pentecost had arrived, and when it did, they heard a sound like that of a strong wind, and they saw a fire-like form flickering above every head in the room. The Holy Spirit had come down upon every individual, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, which is Acts 2:4. Now, when other people heard about this occurrence, the curious came flocking together to see what had occurred. And soon thousands of people were gathered around, and then the disciples began to speak to them. But this was no normal speech. It was with the gift of tongues. And the crowd was greatly amazed at this. In fact, it caused such consternation to the wondering crowd that they even listed all the different languages that were spoken and understood. There were at least 15 different languages: Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocians, Pontus, Asian, Phrygian, Pamphylian, Egyptian, Libyan, Roman, Cretans, and Arabs. All of these heard what the disciples were saying in their own tongue. So there's no question about what occurred there in Jerusalem. The disciples were miraculously given the ability to speak plainly and clearly in other languages without ever having learned these languages before. So the disciples were not babbling or speaking gibberish or speaking in languages that no one could understand that heard them, but they were given the ability to speak the language of those to whom they were trying to witness to about Jesus Christ. and yet they still retained their ability to speak their own native language, unlike what had occurred at the Tower of Babel. So not only could they speak their own language, but now they could miraculously speak other languages that they had never learned before. In Acts 2, verses 5 to 7, we're told, Jews, devout men, heard them speak in his own language, and they were all amazed and marveled. Now, the speaking in other tongues did not come about because of man's efforts, but it was the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Lord desired that the gospel would rapidly go to many different countries in a most miraculous way. And the gift of tongues was also evidence to the unbelieving Jews that God was indeed in this work, and the gospel message that they heard was directly from him. So tongues was not given to edify the believing disciples. They already believed. Nor was tongues granted them a special feeling, nor was it given to them as unintelligible utterances. But the tongues was a miraculous gift that enabled God's people to speak in the languages of their hearers. In fact, the prophecy of Isaiah 28:11 that we read earlier, when you look at the words in the verse, they bring out this truth very clearly. The Hebrew word for stammering, for with stammering lips, the Hebrew word for stammering is laeg, L-A-E-G. And it translates and means foreigner. That was from Strong's Exhaustive Hebrew Concordance, word number 3934. And the Hebrew word for tongue, for with stammering lips and another tongue, the word for tongue is lashona, and it translates and means the tongue of man, speech, language, which is Strong's Hebrew word number 3956. So with stammering or foreigner's lips, and another tongue, or another language of man, will he speak to this people. And now this promised sign of tongues had been given to the Jews. The result of Christ's followers receiving the gift to speak in different foreign languages was the conversion to Jesus Christ of about 3,000 souls in just one day. You can find that in Acts 2, verse 41. So not only was this gift of tongues given to be the promised sign to the Jews, but it was also given for the proclamation of the gospel. And with such a large number of Jews from all over the world accepting this gospel truth, the message could then spread with lightning speed as they would return back home in different countries and share what had occurred. So this was the first time that tongues was given, but what about the next time that the Holy Spirit was poured out and tongues were spoken? If you look at quote number 5, the second time was in Caesarea, and you can find this occurrence recorded in Acts 10, verses 44 to 8, and Acts 11, verses 15 to 18. So about 7 years later, in AD 38, occurred the second recorded instance of tongues. Peter was led by the Holy Spirit to visit the home of a Gentile named Cornelius. And Cornelius was a Roman centurion residing in Caesarea. And as Peter was preaching the gospel unto Cornelius and his family and friends gathered there, they all believed and accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Then the Holy Spirit fell upon all of these Gentile believers, and they all began to speak in tongues. Now, the hearers of these Gentiles were Jewish Christians who had accompanied Peter on this journey. And the Bible records that they heard these speak with tongues and magnify God, which is Acts 10, verse 46. Now, when Peter was later explaining to the other apostles and brethren back in Jerusalem about what had happened in Caesarea, he says in Acts 11, 15 that the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. So these Gentile converts spoke known discernible languages which were understood by their listeners, just like with the disciples at the beginning. And by speaking in languages that they had never learned, these Gentile believers showed their Jewish Christian audience that the Spirit of God was including them in the family of God as His chosen people. You can find this in Galatians 3, verses 26 to 9, and also Romans 10, verse 12. But this also showed that the gospel was to be preached to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, as we're told in Revelation 14, 6, and was not just to be to the Jews alone. It was to go worldwide. And to effectively accomplish this worldwide dispersion of the gospel, God gave His people the ability to speak in different languages in order to reach all the different nations in the world. So this was the second time that tongues was given, but what about the third time they were spoken? In quote number 6, the third time that tongues were spoken was in Ephesus, and you can find this instance recorded in Acts 19, verses 1 to 7. In A.D. 51, about 13 years after the Holy Spirit was poured out in the home of Cornelius there in Caesarea, and about 20 years after Jerusalem, Paul was preaching to 12 people. They had been baptized with John the Baptist's baptism, but were not yet aware that the Holy Ghost had come to dwell in the believers that were in Christ Jesus. So Paul instructed them, they embraced the truth and were rebaptized. And Paul also laid his hands on them, and when he did so, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, which is Acts 19, verse 6. Now, the Greek word for tongues used in this text is glossa. And glossa translates and means a language naturally unacquired, which is Strong's Greek word number 1100. So these 12 people spoke in other languages not naturally acquired or learned by them before. And the languages were understood by the people who heard them speak. So this third and final occurrence of the gift of tongues listed in the Bible is illustrating the importance of rebaptism. And these verses show that the Lord gives His approval to rebaptize or be rebaptized when you learn significantly greater truths from His Word that you knew before. And so He signified this by pouring out His Spirit and giving the gift of speaking different known languages. So now, having looked at every occurrence of the true gift of tongues in the Bible, the only conclusion to which we can come to is that tongue speaking is the miraculous gift of being able to speak an unknown language to you but a known language to those listening with whom you would not otherwise be able to communicate with. Yet the manifestation of the Spirit in all three instances there recorded in Acts, we find was not vain babbling or gibberish that could be confused for a drunken man's speech. It was not a language that no one could understand or that had to be deciphered by the hearers. But it was the perfectly understood use of foreign languages spoken under the power of the Holy Spirit. So this definition is the true gift of tongues. But the fact that God has something that is true is usually an indicator that the devil will counterfeit it in order to deceive. And this is also true in the case of tongues. Not only can God give the miraculous gift of speaking in other languages, but the devil can also speak through people. You can find this recorded in Mark chapter 1, verses 23 to 6, and Mark chapter 5, verses 7 to 12. So the devil can also speak through people. And as the devil doesn't abide in the truth, then the words that are going to be spoken are full of error. So this shows us that there can be a false gift of tongues as well. And that was quote number 7. But as you continue to search in the New Testament, you'll find that there was a kind of tongue speaking that was being practiced in a church of God among the believers in Corinth. So then the question comes up, was the tongues that the Corinthians were speaking, was this a true gift of tongues or a counterfeit gift of tongues? And so let's look a little bit closer. If you look at quote number 8. Tongues being spoken in Corinth. You can find this recorded in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 through 14. And in AD 53, about 2 years after the 12 disciples spoke in tongues there in Ephesus, Paul heard that the church in Corinth was having a variety of different problems. And Paul stated that the Corinthian church members were carnal, and that there was strife, envy, and divisions among them. 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. He states that there was such a severe case of fornication being practiced among them that it was even shocking to the Gentiles. That's 1 Corinthians 5:3. Also, brothers were suing one another. That's 1 Corinthians 6:5-7. Others were doing wrong and defrauding their brethren. 1 Corinthians 6:8. Their women were not dressing as they should, and some of them were dressing like harlots. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 11:1-16. In addition, there were also heresies among them. 1 Corinthians 11:19. Some were also defiling the Lord's Supper, and because of this, some of them had died. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 11:20-22, verse 29 and 30. There was also confusion and disorder in the church. 1 Corinthians 14:33-40. And there were also false apostles and unrighteous ministers among them. That was 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. So this is a pretty large church, and there was a lot going on there. Now, these strong statements from Paul were far from being complimentary regarding the Corinthian church. And they certainly were not a church to model after, but their fruits revealed themselves to be a church in need of conversion back to God. And in fact, the members were in danger of receiving a different gospel and following a different Jesus, and were even receiving a different spirit. You can find that in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 3 to 4. So the Corinthian church members were far from being an example of a church that was filled with God's Spirit, but were actually a church that was in grave danger of being deceived by a counterfeit false spirit and being led away from God. But among all the issues that Paul dealt with these believers in Corinth was a big problem with the gift of tongues. And it appears that the church services were being disrupted by people making sounds that neither they nor anyone present could understand or interpret. So then this reveals to us that a counterfeit kind of tongue speaking was taking place in this church, or there would have been no problem at all with what they were doing. But Paul pointed out that it was a problem. So then the question comes up, were the tongues depicted in Acts different from the tongues depicted in 1 Corinthians? And the answer is yes. In Acts, we only find three occurrences of tongue speaking over a period of some 20 years. But in Corinth, tongue speaking was a regular practice during church services. In Acts, we find no indication that any one person had the gift of tongues, because when we look at the experience of Pentecost, it was the whole group of disciples that spoke, which is 120 of them. In the home of Cornelius there in Caesarea, it was all the converts that spoke in tongues. And at Ephesus, it was all 12 who had just been instructed and rebaptized. But 1 Corinthians 12 verse 10 tells us that there were individual believers in Corinth that were speaking in tongues, as well as there being a gift of interpretation of tongues in that church group. So something completely different was taking place in the Corinthian church than what had taken place three times before in recorded there in Acts. Now, because of the extent of this unholy confusion that was taking place in Corinth, it's extremely possible that the tongues being spoken during the church services were neither a known language or a gift from God, and thus people were in danger of being deceived. And so Paul had to set them straight by issuing the following guidelines regarding tongue speaking. And if you look at quote number 9, there's actually 11 different guidelines. The first was that tongue speaking was not the universal evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because while every true believer is baptized by the Spirit, not all believers would speak in tongues. You can find this guideline recorded in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 11, verses 13 and verse 30. The second guideline is that tongue speaking was of lesser importance than prophecy, and of far less importance than love. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 31 and 13, chapter 13. And in fact, sometimes tongues was not even listed as one of the spiritual gifts to be received by the Spirit. You can find this in Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 16. The third guideline is that the gift of prophecy was better than tongues because it edified the church. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 4. The fourth, unregulated speaking in tongues led to confusion. That's 1 Corinthians 14, verses 7 to 12. The fifth, public speaking in uninterpreted tongues had no value. That's 1 Corinthians 14, verses 13 to 19. The sixth, preoccupation with tongues was a sign of immaturity in Christ Jesus. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. The seventh, unregulated tongues was a hindrance to the salvation of others. You can find that in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23. The eighth rule, since tongues could be counterfeited, public tongue speaking had to be strictly regulated. That's 1 Corinthians 14, verses 26 to 40. The ninth, only two or three were allowed to speak in tongues in any service, and they were to speak in turn, one after the other. That's from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 27 and 30. The tenth, those speaking uninterpreted or unknown tongues were to stop speaking and keep quiet. That's 1 Corinthians 14, verse 28. And the last, the 11th, a proper and orderly atmosphere in church services was to be maintained at all times. And this is 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. So in reviewing all of these, we can clearly see that Paul was actually rebuking and chastening the believers in Corinth for allowing a counterfeit tongue speaking to enter into their midst. He was not teaching that this counterfeit tongues was something other Christians should desire or imitate. And Paul was not teaching that we should speak without understanding, or that we should speak in a babbling or gibberish language that no one comprehends. But Paul was trying to keep this false type of tongue speaking from continuing to be a problem in the Corinthian church, or in any other Christian church for that matter. And so he emphasized again what the main purpose of tongues was for. And if you look at quote number 10, he states, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not, to those that are unlearned or unbelievers. And that was from 1 Corinthians 14, verses 22 to 23. So in following this counsel from Paul, tongues would then become a divine sign to unbelievers as to who were proclaiming the real gospel truth. And it was not a divine sign to believers who already knew the truth. Speaking in unknown languages, unknown foreign languages to others, was a sign to unbelievers that you were bearing the true gospel to them. So then it would not be a sign to believers who already knew the truth that you were preaching the true gospel. So tongues are for unbelievers, not believers. Now, this incident recorded in Acts chapter 2, there at Jerusalem, is the first time in the Bible that the true miraculous gift of tongues was given. But this was not the first time that a miraculous gift of tongues had ever been spoken. And we'll learn more about this next time. So praise God for his word of truth. And praise him for sending his spirit to make sure that truth spreads around the world to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. So we hope to see you next time. And our closing song is called Send the Light. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. And praise God for sending forth the Holy Spirit to allow each one of us to understand the light and then empower us to send the light everywhere. And may we do so. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are one day closer to eternal life. Thank you for digging us out of the pit of Babylon with the gospel light of truth as it is in Christ Jesus and placing our feet on him, the solid rock. Father, help us to become so established, settled, and fixed in the truth that we will not move off of it no matter what the cost, that we will not give it up no matter how much pressure is put upon us or how many people should forsake us. But help us to be so rooted in Christ Jesus that we may be sealed with the seal of the Most High and become His prized possession forevermore. We long for Your seal, dear Father, and please help us to get prepared more and more by following the truth, by sharing the truth, by learning more truth, and continuing on until we grow in grace unto that perfect, mature man, woman, or child in Christ Jesus. Help us indeed to let our light shine to others, that they too may have this precious chance to accept Christ Jesus and follow Him wherever He should lead the way. Thank You for the light. And thank You for being our God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So praise God for His light of truth, and praise God for giving us His word of truth to let us know the difference between the true gift of tongues versus the false gift of tongues. And a question in the room, it says, what does that mean for people who speak in tongues now? Well, in following these guidelines that Paul very clearly laid out, it would be able to show who had the true gift of tongues versus who did not. But again, the purpose of tongues is not for those that already know the truth. It's for those who do not yet know the truth. And because they can't understand your language, then that is a barrier for the gospel reaching them. And so that barrier now was bridged by the Holy Spirit giving the ability to the person to speak in the language of their hearers, and that language they didn't know before, they hadn't learned before. So that was an indication to their hearers that it was truly from God, because otherwise they'd not be able to understand what that person was speaking. So when you go to a church of believers today and you hear them speaking in tongues but not understanding what they're saying, then that throws up a big red flag. Why are they speaking in tongues in their church? Don't all the members in their church understand the language of that nation? Are there foreigners that do not understand English if it's here in America? They only understand Spanish or Portuguese or Russian or whatever, but they happen to be there in the church to listen to a sermon they can't understand. You know, so big red flags come up. It is possible, but not very likely. So the true gift of tongues we see is the ability for an individual to speak a foreign known language to someone who's able to understand them, and yet they didn't know that language before. So it would be like me, if I was visiting over there in Iceland, being able to speak Icelandic to the Icelanders. The Icelandic language is one of the most difficult of all languages to learn. So if I was over there to spread the gospel and I didn't know Icelandic language, I only knew English, and the Spirit gave me the ability to speak Icelandic to the listeners there, that's a true gift of tongues. That's what the disciples were able to do to all the Jews that had come from all the different nations in that area to Jerusalem. The false gift of tongues is to speak in a language that no one understands, whether they're foreigners or not. To speak in a language that's gibberish, that doesn't match any kind of language construction here on this earth. The counterfeit form of tongues would be something completely different than the true gift of tongues. And we'll find out more about that next time. So thank you for your question. Another comment, it says, the spirit they have is not from God in the churches now because they're foaming at the mouth and throwing themselves to the floor. Yeah, that's true, because when you look at how the spirit came upon the disciples, there was no gyrations, or they weren't bouncing off the wall or falling down, slain in the spirit, so-called. They went outside and started preaching to the people in foreign languages. So there was no exhibitions of any kind of athleticism or any kind of wonder. They were just very calmly able to speak in other languages. So again, the devil has a true, or the God has a true gift of tongues, and the devil has a counterfeit. And all we have to do is examine the fruits of the true and compare these to the fruits of any other and see whether it agrees or disagrees. And if it disagrees with the fruits of the true gift of tongues, then it's a counterfeit. So the Bible is a spotlight that we can turn on any doctrine or practice or belief or interpretation or opinion and see if it's true or not. It detects error, and praise God that each one of us has that word for ourselves.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Hugs and love. This particular topic is an awesome interest to me because I have been on, many years ago, I went to revivals that were from Pentecostals and Apostolics, and the one sister in church over here that were talking about them foaming at the mouth or ranting and raving. Well, I'll tell you how long ago it was. My son is in his 40s, and when he was young, very small, he told me, he said, Mom, I don't want to go back to those tent revivals because those ladies are going to fall on me when they get in the spirit. That's how long ago it was. But in the meantime, primarily, I had asked a couple of their ministers back in the day, you know, what is that they're talking about? You know, I don't understand anything. I said, how come I don't have that? And I felt so neglected by God that he didn't give me the spirit to talk in tongues because I didn't know any better. They told me that it was the reason we couldn't understand it is because it was an angelic knowledge. And to hear this, you know, 30 years later, 40 years later, this is so cool. I love it. And God's always on time, even if it is 30 years later. So God bless and hugs and love. Everybody have a great day. It's raining over here. And my fur babies are looking to go outside, but they're afraid they might shrink in the rain. So God bless and have a blessed week.
Amen, and thank you, dear sister, and praise God for keeping you from that counterfeit spirit and preserving you until he was able to lead you into the truth. So praise God indeed. And amen. God is not a God of confusion, but he is a God of order. Amen. Confusion comes from Babylon. Order comes from God. So amen. Another comment, it says, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to walk with the Spirit of God, and not to turn back to the ways of the world. In the churches, they get in the spirit in the building, and as soon as church is over, they go right back to their faults. Yeah, that's true. And that shows that there is no benefit to that type of being in the spirit. Not true. So, amen. Another question, actually. Has anyone here actually witnessed the true gift of tongues? Will this not be witnessed, especially in the last days? I personally have not witnessed it. Are there any others here that have? I mean, I've heard of instances of it occurring. I know in the early Advent church, there was some recorded instances of people being able to speak in tongues. But I personally have not witnessed it today. Are there any others here that might have, or any other knowledge of it taking place? Since
I haven't witnessed it at all. I've witnessed everything else except that. But I remember having a study before when it came with the 33 lessons before our baptism. And I studied with my children, and I realized that in the Bible, where the man that was possessed with legions and chained, he also was foamed at the mouth. And it reminded me of what happened in the Pentecostal or in the Baptist churches that I've attended, with also non-denominational churches that I've grown up in with my family. But then I, when I read that, I was like, wow, that's crazy, because when the disciples had the Holy Spirit descended on them like a dove, and they were as a live candlestick, they weren't foaming at the mouth, and they didn't throw themselves on the floor. They didn't do all that stuff that they did that I've seen. But then it goes back to the man that was chained. He was possessed, and he was foaming at the mouth and gibbering and jabbering. So just let me know the difference between what is truth and what was error, what is of the Lord and where the Holy Spirit resides versus where the enemy is and whom he possesses.
Amen. And that is true. By their fruits ye shall know them. And again, praise God for his word of truth, because that's really the only way that we're going to be able to discern between truth and error, between God's spirit versus the spirit of the devil, is by testing all things according to God's law and testament. The Bible and the spirit of prophecy. It's the only way to be safe in this world of deception. And it's only going to get worse as we grow closer to the end, because the devil knows his time is short, and so he's going to be pulling out all the stops. He's going to be doing everything that he possibly can to deceive even the very elect. But we know that the elect reside on God's word, and so they're able to detect between the true and the false. And again, praise God for his word. Another comment in the room, it says, God actually protected me, because no matter how they taught me and pushed me to be slain in the spirit, I just wouldn't by God's grace. This was the time when I was searching after I left the Catholic Church. So praise God, dear sister, for protecting you and leading and guiding you to the truth and away from error. Amen. another comment, it said a particular pastor was actually experienced in the true gift. That's interesting. I hadn't known that before. Another comment, it says, it is alleged that tongues have happened in more modern times. A missionary was given a new language so as to reach a certain group of people, and he never forgot that new language. Well, that definitely was miraculous, to learn a language in one instant that you'd never studied before, all for the purpose of spreading the gospel. So, amen. So, God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. That means the Spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if the Spirit could be poured out back then for the purpose of spreading the gospel to those who weren't able to understand the language of the missionary or of the person teaching, so the Spirit is able to do the same thing today when it is necessary. Not when we want it, but when God sees it's necessary, it will happen. Or perhaps God gives the ability of the listeners to understand what's being spoken in their language, even though it may be spoken in a different language. There's also that possibility. So I may be speaking English, but the listeners that don't understand English very well may be able through the Spirit to understand everything I'm saying in their minds. God's able to do miraculous things. So that can also occur. Amen. Tongues' major purpose is to witness to others who would not otherwise be able to be benefited by what you're saying. Amen. And yeah, that's true. The Holy Spirit would be like a translator to those people.
I remember when I was younger, I went to a church, and this one of my, at the time, a friend of mine was telling me, we had choir rehearsal, and she came to me out of the blue and just was like, "Your sister has a spirit on her." And I was like, "What?" And she was like, "Yeah." She said, "The devil's over there on her." And I'm like, "What?" So the next thing I know, I was like, okay, I have no idea what you're talking about. Next thing I know, they went to the back. She took my sister to the back and she started praying over her and put her hands on her and prayed over her. And the next thing, my sister started making all these noises and started foaming at the mouth, and her eyes were rolling back in her head. So I had to go back and tell my parents and tell the pastor. And they told everyone to move, because I guess that if you're not praying, then that spirit that she had would be able to come from her and find another homage with someone else if you're not praying. So from that was the first time that I experienced the laying on hands. And I have never had anybody else do that, because that incident scared me. And so that just let me know that the girl that came and told me that stuff lied and took things into her own hands and made the situation worse than what it was. So my advice is, don't let people come to you and lay their hands on you and say, and start praying, if they do not have the same, if they are not walking in unity with the Lord, then there is nothing more that they can offer you.
Amen, and that's good advice. And also, churches that are not following God's commands are not churches that we should be a part of either. So again, by their fruits ye shall know them. And God doesn't give his Spirit to individuals that break his laws. He only gives his Spirit to those that are walking in the light, not those that are content to remain in darkness. So, amen. Comment in the room, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Amen. Question, it says, were there not interpreters of tongues in apostolic times? And yes, there were. There were some interpreters there in the Corinthian church. But when you look at Acts, the three occurrences of the true gift of tongues in Acts, there were no interpreters there. The followers of Christ were given the ability to speak in the known language of their listeners. So there didn't have to be an interpreter to take what they said and translate it into the language. They were able to understand. But when we get to the tongues being manifested in the Corinthian church, there were individuals apparently speaking in a language that no one could understand. And then there were individuals that said, hey, I recognize that language. And then they interpret it for the rest of the people there in the church. Well, how does that practice fit with what occurred in Acts? The true gift of tongues is the individual spoke in the known language of their listeners. But what was taking place in the Corinthian church is the person speaking tongues was speaking a language that was not benefiting their listeners until someone could interpret it. Well, that's a different practice than what had occurred with the true gifts there in Acts. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments? Please feel free.
I have another way also, the way how the Holy Spirit had helped. Even though that you are bilingual, I speak Spanish and I also speak English. I remember when I started to share the gospel in Spanish, and I started to realize that even though I speak Spanish, to share the gospel in Spanish is completely different. Because you have to have the biblical terms from the Bible itself. And every time when you try to speak the language, but in the biblical term, it was kind of difficult for me. So I had prayed and I asked the Lord to please help me how to be able to take the language that I was born in, but properly give the gospel in the terms that is in the Bible. Because the more I started to speak to her, I started to realize that I was limited in the Spanish way to be able to share the gospel with her. So in my praying and asking the Lord to help me, this particular dear sister, she speaks Spanish well. And the Lord gave her the ability to kind of have patience with me, that I had to keep looking for the Spanish term or the word that is in the Bible. And as I was also praying, the Lord also made me meet this dear brother from Colombia. His name is Badagaray. And I was able to continue exercising my Spanish way to be able to share the gospel with Spanish people. And I thank God that even the Lord will aid you in that. When you are limited, the Lord always find a way to kind of help you along. Once you have the willingness of heart to be able to do the work, whatever you're lacking, He will bring it forth. You won't know how, but as I was speaking also to the dear brother from Colombia, he was even saying, wow, your Spanish even got much better. So whatever it is that you're lacking, the good thing about it is that once you have the willingness and you want to do the work, just keep praying and the Lord will find a way to be able to help you. I wanted to just share a scripture that came up to my mind when we were studying concerning that is very important, that as we have these platforms to be able to hear the gospel and to study, to take this platform very serious, because there's going to come a time that we're not going to be able to have this privilege. So we are really in vintage ground. Jesus was present with the people, and once Jesus was no longer, they had to also go and search the scripture. We still have to do that. And the scripture is, I am not worthy for the least of all thy mercy, and for all the truth that thou hast shown unto thy servant. I am not worthy. I am not worthy. I am not worthy. And there's a song that I wanted to share also. Like the sea that never will be moving mine, like the stars that time will never alter, all my trust will be, O Lord, in thee. In thy love, my faith will never falter. Like the mountain, standing firm and true am I. Like the tree, the wind will not be bending. I will still be found on faithful ground. In thy word, my hope is never ending. Here, Lord, am I, here's thy servant. Whisper thy will is my command. Oh, my trust will be, O Lord, in thee. In thy love, my faith will never falter. Like the sea that never will be moving mine. Like the stars that time will never alter. Oh, my trust will be, O Lord, in thee. In thy love, my faith will never falter. In thy love, my faith will never falter.
Amen, dear sister, and thank you. That was beautiful. Praise the Lord. You know, in talking about a false gift of tongues, it can be quite scary. But we also have to remember that God is in control. And if we rely upon Him, then He will bring us through and will not be deceived. And in recognizing that, this song is good to remember. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you, God.
Through days of toil when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Hallelujah. All you may need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day, all on the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean, weary one, upon His breast. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Even unto the end of the world, He will not forsake us, but will take care of us. Thank you, Father. Well, Derwent, this is a wonderful church service, and thank you so much for being a part of it. Is there anything else that you'd like to sing, testimonies you'd like to give, thoughts that you'd like to bring forth, questions you'd like to ask? Anything that you'd like to share before we close today's service, please go right ahead.
See the bright and morning star, Jesus, the light of the world. He has risen in our hearts, Jesus, the light of the world. Walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where His love and His mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Sister Karina, you wanted to sing? He's the Lamb that lights our way. Jesus, the light of the world. Step by step and day by day, Jesus, the light of the world. Walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where His love and His mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. No more darkness, no more night. Jesus, the light of the world. He will shine forever bright. Jesus, the light of the world. Walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where His love and His mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world.
I would like to sing my favorite scripture song. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I will give you rest. And I will give you rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew 11:28-30. For my yoke is easy. Come, come unto me.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you just trust and never doubt what he said, all these things shall be added unto you. Seek it, seek ye first the kingdom of his love, make him first in everything you do. If you just trust and never doubt what he said, all good things will be added unto you. He got everything you need. All he asks us is to heed and be faithful till the very end. And the day of judgment comes, would you like to be the one to see his face and to call him friend? Seek ye for the kingdom of his love, make him first in everything you do. If you just trust and never doubt what he said, all good things will be added unto you.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. That's the perfect song to end our service on. Indeed, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will take care of everything else. Dear ones, may God bless, keep looking up, and looking forward to fellowshipping with you again soon.